It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour two of Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR alongside Andrew Gribble and Matt
breaking
Wilhelm.
Breaking news!
We have breaking news. As we'll get to Jordan Ron on here in a second, but Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network reporting this. It's not been confirmed by the Browns or the NFL yet, so I want to make sure I make that abundantly clear. But Rap Sheet reporting, Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon is being reinstated, according to a source. He's suspended for the first four games of the regular season. Now, Gordon's reinstatement is conditional, but he can participate in training camp, and he'll be able to play in the preseason, though he'll still have to participate in treatment. When he's suspended, he can be in meetings. Now, we will get to that more next segment, but he's been waiting on hold. I want to get to him now. He is ESPN.com's Giants reporter for NFL Nation. He is Jordan Ronan joining us. Jordan, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, that would be a big difference if he's there, you know?
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
Hopefully by week 13 he's there. I mean, you never know. The pace of the story has gone for quite a while.
It's been crazy here to follow this because it was, you know, it was August and not knowing when he was going to be back. There's always been uncertainty with all this, so it's going to be interesting. I want to start with talking about the Giants with obviously there's a new – it's Tom Coughlin's – presence has been such a big part of this team for so long, and now it's Ben McAdoo. What changes have you noticed already before we even get to training camp with the new coach?
Yeah, I mean, you see a big difference. Everything they do, look, they revamped the strength and conditioning program. They redid the gym. They're practicing differently. Practices sound differently. They play music pretty much the whole entire time. You know, there's a different voice in the room. Ben McAdoo has a very different demeanor than Tom Coughlin. So just internally, everything kind of has changed. And, you know, when the Giants made the change, they bring in Ben McAdoo, who was already the offensive coordinator, right?
Right.
They keep Steve Spagnuolo, who's the defensive coordinator, and the new offensive coordinator was the guy who was the quarterback's coach. So you say, well, did they really make changes here? But I think when you're around the team that you see a difference. This isn't going to be a traditional Tom Coughlin team. We haven't seen a traditional Tom Coughlin offense even in the past couple of years because Tom Coughlin was a big pound the ball and hit them with verticals, and the Giants had already altered to a West Coast style offense, quick hitting offense. So I don't know if it's necessarily been a classic Tom Coughlin team in a couple of years. So now they've officially made the switch over. So this is the Ben McAdoo's team now for sure.
It has. And also, has there been some change in the front office with, you know, them seeking out some priority free agents in Janoris Jenkins and especially Olivier Vernon to spend the money necessary to get competitive in a very kind of like down year for that division last year?
Yeah, they really had no choice. They had all this money. They had a ton of money. And everyone was sort of coming up. They didn't have a lot of long-term deals. And look at the defense they had. They had the 32nd-ranked defense, which was a mess, and they needed to fix it. And it just so happened that they were able to spend it in free agency. And that was the only – you know, they didn't have – the problem is, and this has been the problem of why they're in the spot that they are, is they didn't have the guys waiting that next level, that next phase, the next stage of guys waiting to come in and step in once the dust and tucks of the world were gone, and the Antonio Pierces, and they just haven't been able to restock. So it reached a point. Last year they tried. You're right, they did change. Last year they tried to get about like 10 mid-range, lower level guys and just get pieces, guys that are contributors. And this year
right.
They said, okay, we need real difference makers. So they went right to the straight to the top of the free agent market. And that was the route they went this year.
Go ahead, Grips.
I was just going to follow up on that. I know I was looking at just the updates on the Giants, and just the key storylines are surrounding two of the veterans and just their health, Victor Cruz and Jason Pierre-Paul. What can you give us about that, and how much of a storyline will that be with the Giants this year?
Yeah, for sure. Those are two huge storylines. Victor Cruz, really, I mean, if anybody tells you they know they're going to get Victor Cruz this year, I think we need to get that lottery numbers from that person. this is a matter that's just so much unknown. The guy hasn't played in 20-plus – he missed 20-plus games. He hasn't played in almost 2 years. He didn't finish a complete, a single full practice since last summer. It's just a complete unknown. And if he could play at even anywhere near or half the, you know, former level, he was a Pro Bowl player that he was before, it's a big difference for this offense. So they're really dependent on him, and also JPP. We all know last summer with the whole hand and the fireworks incident, it's what can we get from JPP at this point? And look, he's going to be back and he's going to be playing. He did last year, but it's just now, well, how much of the old JPP and how much of the same player is he going to be? And again, this is another one. Until he gets out on the field, nobody really knows, because he's certainly playing with an altered hand and some limitations from what he used to. So I'm not sure he'll ever be – I doubt he'll ever be what he fully used to be. Number one, he's getting older. And number two, he has these physical limitations. So, you know, just getting a solid quality defense, pass rushing defensive end, that would be an upgrade for the Giants this year, because he gave them one sack last year in 9 games.
Wow. And I'm going to jump back over to the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, Odell Beckham is, you know, the main weapon for Eli Manning. Who's going to emerge? You guys drafted Sterling Shepard. You talked about Victor Cruz. Who's going to emerge opposite him at wide receiver as a threat? And then is Donnell going to really lock down the tight end position and grow in his role in that offense as well?
Yeah, the tight end spot is one you really don't know. That's a big one. I think Will Tye, who's the guy who came in and played for Larry Donnell last year, he has just as much a chance to win that starting job and be a significant pass catcher as Larry Donnell does at this point. In fact, I think you could easily make the argument that Will Tye probably has more upside. And the guy that is going to be slotted in to pick up the production at wide receiver, like you said, you mentioned the guy, it's Sterling Shepard. He's the one that I think can really come in and make a difference. He could immediately come in and be that slot guy and play a lot if Victor Cruz is there. And even if he's not, I would be surprised if he's not even the starter on the outside opposite Odell Beckham come week one. Well, you know, teams play 3 wide receivers all the time anyway. So even assuming Victor Cruz is healthy, and which is a big assumption at this point, I would still almost expect it to be Cruz, Shepard, and Beckham out there on the field at the same time. Sorry.
Jordan Rondon joining us. He is the Giants reporter for ESPN.com's NFL Nation. Eli Manning is 35 years old. I can't believe it, but having said all that, his performance level over the last couple of years has been very, very good, and the Giants, as you mentioned right from the start, did what they could to make sure that as much as they could, the coaching and everything, the staff and the targets and everything for Eli won't change here, so it's going to be business as usual for him, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan. I mean, that was one of the big reasons I think that Ben McAdoo's sitting there as the head coach right now, because you didn't want to overhaul everything for Eli Manning at age 35. I mean, this all ties in. I mean, we're talking about the change in philosophy of the front office. Again, they couldn't strip it down to have a 35-year-old Eli Manning who's going to be 36 before the season's over. So you can't scrap it. I mean, a lot of people say, look at the Browns. If they're just, you know, they have a new coach, like the Giants, but they're able to go and they say, okay, we're going to start from the bottom. We're going to build our team up, completely rebuild it and restock it. And the Giants, they don't feel that they're in that position because they have the veteran quarterback in Eli Manning. And because, hey, realistically, how many more good years does Eli Manning have left? So they're trying to crunch it in here. And will it work? Can you really rebuild the defense almost exclusively through the free agency? I think that can easily be debated. But on the offensive side of the ball, you have Eli Manning, third year in this offense with Ben McAdoo, third year with a guy like Odell Beckham. The hope is that they have something moving already. They have something moving in the right direction, something that they're building, something that they're growing. They were ranked eighth in total offense last year. That was with a suspect offensive line, no real, you know, feature running back, and really no other target that would even come close to scaring the other team besides Odell Beckham. So to have the eighth-ranked offense basically with Eli and Odell Beckham, I think that's sort of what the Giants are looking at and say, hey, we can really build off this. And if we get some more pieces around them, a little more help from a guy like, say, Sterling Shepard or Will Tye or Larry Donnell, then this offense can go from being, you know, the eighth-ranked offense to really being one of the best offenses in the league.
Right, and you talked, you referenced the defensive rebuild, and part of that rebuild, and I know the general manager just come out and said, trust me on this, is the drafting of Ohio State cornerback Eli Apple. I know mm-hmm. that I've heard it's been really good, it's been really bad. So what's your take on Eli Apple? Is he a guy that, you know, will contribute at least at the onset of the season, you know, early on?
Yeah, this is a real crapshoot because, look, you look at the Giants team, they signed Janoris Jenkins, big money deal. They have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, right? Those are two guys that play outside that are starters, established starters in the NFL. And then you're bringing Eli Apple, a guy who has never played the slot. That's the position the Giants need. You come in as a rookie in the NFL playing cornerback, very tough position in the first place. If you're even average, I think that's probably a success for a rookie cornerback in the NFL. So, you know, what they're going to get from him immediately, I'm not sure we know right now. He's a guy that some people thought might need a year before, you know, he's really able to come in and be a significant contributor and be the player that most think he is. So, I mean, you look at the Vikings last year. I think they picked 11th. And they drafted drawing a blank, the kid from Michigan State, but he barely played.
Trey Waynes.
Trey Waynes, yeah. I was thinking Denard, but I knew it wasn't Denard. So Trey Waynes, and he barely played last year. That was the 11th pick. So now Eli Apple here is the 10th pick. I wouldn't be surprised if Eli Apple isn't an immediate contributor, especially early in the year. He'll get a chance to win the slot, cornerback spot for the Giants, but be realistic. We're talking about a rookie who's going to come in and play a position he's never played before. Is even better, going to be better than you know, the middling guys that they have on the roster right now at that spot. I'm not so sure. So there's a lot that's up in the air in regards to Eli Apple. They'll probably bring him along slowly. So maybe by week 13 when they play the Browns, you might see Eli Apple, but I'm not so sure you're going to see him week one when they get out on the field in Dallas as a significant player.
Jordan, great stuff. We appreciate your time. All the best to you as training camp gets rolling out there in New York, and we'll see you here in Cleveland on November 27th.
Sounds like a deal. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got all it. Right. Jordan Raynon, he's the NFL Nation beat reporter for the Giants for ESPN.com. Now, as we talked at the start of the interview, it hadn't been confirmed. Now the NFL has issued a release. It has been confirmed on the Josh Gordon situation. In a letter to Josh Gordon today, Commissioner Goodell wrote the following to Gordon, quote, "As we discussed at our July 19th meeting, as commissioner, I want nothing more than to see you turn your circumstances around and succeed. Countless others, including your agent, teammates, and coaches, Mr. Haslam and the leadership of the organization, the program professionals, and Jim Brown have pledged to provide you with every resource at their disposal. But as you acknowledged, ultimately, your future is your responsibility. I have every belief you can make the right choices." So, but again, it is Gordon can be at training camp starting this week.
Right.
He will be suspended for the first four games of the regular season, eligible to return to the team starting Monday, October 3rd. So the first game he can play for the Browns is that October 9th game against the New England Patriots, which adds the ante to that game up even more, considering it's scheduled to be Tom Brady's first game off suspension. Gordon, during his suspension, can participate in team meetings and other activities, but cannot practice or obviously take part in games. Grips.
It's just big news, and I think it's the news people have been waiting for months now, and it's kind of almost like a surreal feeling to finally actually see a resolution in this whole thing.
Yeah, and
so,
I think it's
and I think the clear ahead. Thing is that as much as there is a resolution here, it's still pretty open ended. I mean,
yes,
this is
very much
total
so.
It's
prove it
it's
mode.
It's conditional.
Everything is conditional.
Correct, and I think what's not surprising to me, but what's great to me is the conversation that must have been had, you know, in depth between Josh Gordon and the commissioner, and then the commissioner and the hierarchy of the Cleveland Browns. Because so, and it's an all-in effort by all parties.
Yep.
And essentially Roger Goodell is now passing the baton from the, and while he'll still be, you know, taking tests and in the
program, they're gonna monitor.
It's
yeah,
Goodell passing the baton to the Cleveland Browns to oversee the rehabilitation. But yes, it changes a lot. And I think as we dive in 4 days before training camp, and you talk about, you know, who's gonna make this roster, and you know how many wide receivers are gonna keep, how many DBs are gonna keep. You know, we now have two players: Armani Bryant, who contributed significantly last year, and a guy like Josh Gordon, who the 2013 season was like the teaser of all teasers on what he can do in a Cleveland Browns uniform. You now reevaluate who's going to make the team, but only for 4 weeks before Josh Gordon returns and a guy like Armani Bryant returns.
Right, he's a guy that doesn't factor into the initial 53-man discussion, but you also want to, if you're planning on him being there week five, you want to make sure what happened in 2014 doesn't happen again.
Correct.
In that you put him in there and there was just no chemistry.
Right.
It kind of threw off everything with the passing game and it just
and you
didn't
have training camp to figure that out.
Right. And I think that's what that's different. Whereas it seemed like in 2014 there was just it wasn't ready.
Right.
It wasn't ready for him to step back in.
All right. We've got Danny Shelton coming up in a little bit here on the show. I want to clear next segment for you out there. If you've got thoughts on this, again, the NFL has reinstated Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon. This has just happened over the last 20 minutes or so. But again, he will miss the first four games of the regular season. He can participate in training camp and also in the preseason. So what do you think about all this? 216-578-0850. We'll get your reaction. We'll talk more about it with Matt Wilhelm and Andrew Gribble next. Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Is she happy, healthy, big enough? Are we swaddling too tight? When will he crawl and walk and talk? And why is bedtime such a fight? Should he be playing outside more, not staring at these screens? And when did my sweet little girl become a slightly less sweet teen? From small to big and in between, as long as children grow. For every question, every kid, there's only one Rainbow. UH Rainbow Babies and Children's. To find a Rainbow doctor, call 216-UH4-KIDS.
Cleveland Browns 2016 season tickets are now available, offering flexible payment options, big savings over single game ticket prices, the same great seat every game, and more. 2016 Cleveland Browns matchups include the New England Patriots, Dallas Cowboys, New York Jets and Giants, divisional opponents, and more. Place your deposit on the Browns mobile app, ClevelandBrowns.com, or call 440-824-3434. That's 440-824-3434.
Know how much you're spending and on what each and every month. Know you're on track with your bills and your upcoming payments. Know when money's coming in and going out. Know managing your finances is a touchdown with PNC Virtual Wallet. Simplify your finances, track and budget your spending, and save for the future. Learn more at pnc.com/virtualwallet. PNC Bank, official bank of the Cleveland Browns. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Hey, football fans, KND is proud to invite you to live in one of the five most desirable addresses downtown. The residences at Hannah, 668, Reserve Square, Stonebridge, and now offering residences at 1717 in the 912 district. Their suites offer granite countertops, custom cabinets, amazing views, and everything is right at your doorstep. You can even walk to the football games. You deserve a KND quality home. Check out everything KND has to offer downtown and throughout Northeast Ohio at KND.com.
We need to make sure all our kids get wellness exams.
Of course we do.
Because we're good parents.
Yeah, we are.
And because for each kid who gets an exam, we're entered to win prizes.
There it is.
Want to be rewarded just for being a good parent? If you're a Paramount Advantage member, Dog Pound Healthy Rewards is giving away prizes like Browns tickets for each family member 1 year or older who gets a wellness exam. Go to ParamountAdvantage.org/Browns for more information.
How many kids do we have again?
Creepy critters that give you the jitters and carpet sitters galore. Crawly spiders and ankle biters, well, you won't see them no more.
Just say,
stop bugging me, your time is through. Varmint Guard is coming for you, they make critters go away. Stop bugging me.
Say buenos noches, all you roaches.
Varmint Guard, 1-800-793-8169. The proud protector of First Energy Stadium.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Dave DiNatale in for the always vacationing Nathan Zagura, although that's going to end starting on Thursday. Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble here in the Dog Bowl with me. Again, breaking news, the NFL has reinstated Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon on a conditional basis, albeit. He will be suspended for the first four games of the regular season, but can participate in training camp and the preseason. It's going to be interesting to talk to Josh when he's in here later this week. Let's get your reaction, a couple of calls and some tweets as well. Let's go first. Dean is waiting on hold. Dean, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I hadn't initially called to talk about the Josh Gordon situation, and I guess I'll stick to that. My initial question was what you think realistic expectations would be to have for the Browns receiving corps minus Gordon, assuming that we get at least decent O-line and QB play. And then lastly, I'd like to know what you guys think about the idea of Coleman returning kicks and or punts on special teams.
The expectation I would have for the Browns receiving corps, and I'll even throw Josh Gordon into the mix now.
Okay.
I would say Nathan and I both concur that Corey Coleman should be close to 1,000-yard receiver, 6-touchdown guy. I think the remaining wide receivers, that's Jordan Payton, that's Andrew Hawkins, potentially Terrell Pryor, are probably going to be maybe 45 to 50 target guys, which means, 25 to 30 receptions, 300 to 500 yards. But then you throw Josh Gordon in the mix, that could take targets away from guys. All in all, I think Josh Gordon, of course he's going to help us, but I think Josh Gordon helps us look more like the Cincinnati Bengals of last year, meaning when you had multiple weapons, Josh Gordon becomes our A.J. Green.
Yes.
Corey Coleman becomes our Marvin Jones. You've got Hawkins, Payton,
Higgins
as our Mohamed Sanu. You've got Gary Barnage as our Tyler Eifert. You got Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell as our Giovanni Bernard, and our Jeremy Hill. So
okay.
Hugh Jackson's got to be giddy to potentially get back a guy like Josh Gordon.
And I just think the expectations are certainly – you're certainly not going to hear Hugh Jackson coming out and setting these –
No,
sky high
no,
expectations.
No. We are.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think
entertaining
it's
entertaining radio.
It's fun, it's fun for us.
But I think the thing is for him, it's the unknown because he hasn't played at this level since 2013? Because
right.
2014, we all saw it.
It was just, yeah. It was a
wasn't very good.
It was a lost few.
It started good in Atlanta. And it just got worse from there. And then 15 completely off the field. So it'll just be interesting to see how he meshes in with this unit when he starts in training camp and then has to quickly get into that Hugh Jackson new strength and conditioning staff football shape.
That's going to be the best thing for him.
Yeah, I mean, yep. It's going to happen in a hurry because he probably learned from the first time when he tried to come back in. It's just there's a difference between football shape and what he's at now,
right,
no matter
and,
what you do.
And I think there's the two staffs, and we've talked about it time and time again because they're led by different individuals. There's a different tenor and there's a different mentality of the two staffs. And I think even more so with Adam Beard, the high performance director, seeking out, every single position group has their own strength coach. So Josh Gordon, while players are out on the field, is going to be working with like an individual or individuals that sole purpose is to get him back into prime football shape by that New England Patriots matchup here at First Energy Stadium. That's their goal. Because he's going to be in the, he's going to be taking in all the football, and working, in a bubble essentially, to be the best football player for the last 12 football games.
Mark is in Silver Lake. Mark, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Oh, my favorite subject, Josh Gordon. Actually, it isn't. It's a peripheral subject. And it can be summed up in one question. Has the NFL ever dispensed a punishment that matched the crime? Ever? The idea of dismantling a guy's career for smoking pot in the 21st century is like trying to cure dandruff by decapitation. There are people who would never, ever, ever smoke pot who think that this is just preposterous. And, it's posturing by the NFL. I think about Roger Goodell. Here's a guy who makes $800,000 a week, and this is the best he can come up with? I'm sorry, but he's got to wise up and realize that this is the 21st century. And what they did with Josh Gordon, to me, is just ridiculous.
Mark, good stuff. Thanks for the call. I understand his frustration. It's the thought of the marijuana in the 21st century. I get it, but it's still the law of the land, and Gordon knew that, and he violated it several times. And it's going to be unless all of a sudden the rule changes, it's going to be zero tolerance. I mean, that's it.
Don't do whatever. Don't take these scissors and cut off your fingers, and then you pick up the scissors and you cut your fingers off. That, I mean, just because I'm holding a pair of scissors here in the dog bowl, it's like the rules that are set.
Yes,
they're set for a reason.
Yeah,
you know,
whether it's rightly or wrongly,
or whether it's 1950 or 2016, it doesn't matter. The rules are set for a certain reason to have the honor of being one of 2,500 players that have to don the shield each and every Sunday. You must abide and play within these rules. If you don't, you will be out of the league. Go sell cars, as he's already done one time. That's what it is. And everybody, do you not have company rules at ESPN Cleveland that you must abide by?
Of course you
do. And if you step outside of those, what's going to happen? You'll lose your job.
Bye-bye.
Everyone does that.
Yeah.
Why not professional athletes?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if now is even the time to lament on all the time he's missed because of this punishment. I think that's the time to be cautiously optimistic about what lies in front of him.
Absolutely.
Because now it's what he's going to do from this point forward that's going to dictate where he fits in with this team and within really the NFL.
Let's bring in our producer, Mike Dreamer. Mike, I know people have been tweeting us on @Browns_daily with thoughts on Josh Gordon. What do you got for us?
All right, so I got a couple for you guys. The first one is from Steve Mullen at Disco Puma, and he said, why would Gordon be suspended another 4 games if he's coming off of a year suspension?
That was the first thing Andrew Gribble said as we were kind of looking at all the details of this, and I'm curious to hear that.
I don't know the answer yet, but we'll be kind of looking at that.
Yeah, and my only assumption is he met with Roger Goodell on July 19th for this reinstatement, but there was a potential reinstatement.
He petitioned back in February.
Correct, back in February. Yeah. So I would say whatever caused him to give Josh another 6 months worth of evaluation by the league and so on and so forth and good behavior, that cause is what brought on the 4-game suspension to allow him the opportunity to come back in general. It's you're going to take this because of your mishap. We're going to overlook that mishap because you're serving those 4 games, and then you'll be able to participate for the Cleveland Browns.
All right, guys, and then I got one more from Brian Vaughn at @TheReal_BV. It says, with Flash Gordon coming back and being suspended 4 games, will he count against the 53-man roster, and can a suspended player be traded?
I don't know the answer to the second part of that, but I would imagine if this is treated in the same way that you would be treating Armonte Bryant going into this the week one, neither of those guys would count toward the 53 initially, but then once you get to that time where they need to play,
you gotta
make a move.
You gotta make a move.
Yeah,
so
you gotta bring them up. So yeah, that's how the math would work going forward.
All right. By the way, one of the first to tweet Joe Hayden saying, "Let's get right back to work at Josh Gordon 12. Welcome back." I think most of Gordon's teammates are going to have that same thought as well. All right, speaking of another one of Josh Gordon's teammates, we will talk to Danny Shelton coming up next, Browns defensive lineman. He's got a fun activity, a fun event for you tomorrow at Wayside Furniture in Akron. We'll talk about that with Danny Shelton next on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It is Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR as we count down to the start of training camp. And a fun event is coming up tomorrow evening at Wayside Furniture in Akron. The return of 55 as Browns defensive lineman Danny Shelton joins us now. And Danny, as part of the fun of you going back to your old number 55, fans are going to get a chance to meet you tomorrow and have some fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's really exciting. Just to hear that it's everything I planned is going to plan. And so I'm excited to see everybody's faces, excited to be in town, I'm excited to find some jerseys and take some pictures. It really is an awesome opportunity for me to be able to give back to the fans who went out and, you know, bought 71 and, you know, now are planning on buying 55. You know, it's an awesome opportunity because it's the only way I feel like I can give back to them for, you know, making their purchase and for, you know, their support, you know, throughout this past year and the years to come. And so I have some jerseys that were sent as well. You know, some people sent some jerseys from out of state, out of country. And, you know, I had those jerseys I had to sign and send out to everybody. And so I'm just excited to be back home and excited for this season, this upcoming season.
Danny, if you can, you've talked about this throughout the offseason, but kind of explain the importance on why you did go back to that number 55 and how good it feels to see that number back on the back of your jersey now.
Honestly, it's it's for me to be able to do it, because I didn't expect it to be available.
How are you?
Doing good. I'm actually leaving Nebraska right now, for the number to be even open, it was a shock to me. But I was super excited to get the number. When it was available, so I was, the first person to be on the list. I waited like a couple of weeks and, got the phone call, informing me that, I was able to pick up the number. And so after that, it was like me just kind of playing the waiting game to get the jersey, get my name on the jersey so I can, post it on social media and let everybody know about the jersey switch. And now that a couple months have passed now, I'm able to kind of set this thing up where I can sign jerseys for those fans that bought 71. And now it's kind of just me being I don't know what to put it as, but just me being me, really, trying to show my appreciation to the fans and to, at the same time, to just represent the number, like I've always had, and to represent the players who played with it before me,
Browns defensive lineman Danny Shelton joining us again tomorrow at Wayside Furniture in Akron. It's at 1367 Canton Road in Akron. Danny will be there from 6 to 7. Again, bring your old 71 jersey. Danny will sign it. He'll take a picture with you. But you'll also, this is, of course, a Danny Shelton trademark, you'll be entered to win a free authentic Lava, correct?
Correct. So, I'm not sure what my agent said, but I will have some Lava on site for some fans that were able to get in early, so I don't want to cause any drama or anybody to get hurt or anything trying to rush over there, but yeah, that's my plan, to have some Lava's on site.
Danny, I just wondered, you've had quite a busy few weeks here. Just kind of catch us up on what you've been up to leading up into this training camp and kind of the big news in your life now.
I did just get here back to Ohio not too long ago. So it's good to be back here and to feel this heat and just the mugginess. I'm looking forward to training camp, but at the same time, I'm not looking forward to it. It's going to be pretty crazy, but I'm just excited. I mean, I had my off season was basically in California training jiu-jitsu with the Gracies. Also training with, some of the other players, like Jackson Jeff Code, and then the Chief Tom Ali was there as well. So we did that, ran the beach, ran the sand hill. I mean, it was some crazy stuff going on this off season.
And you got engaged?
Oh, that's right, as well. I also got engaged out in Cali. Flew my girlfriend in, and I had my boy Husky with me, and we were both there. We got another puppy as well, and so he was part of the surprise. And she said yes, and so now we're engaged, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, I'm just excited for everything that's going on in my life. Everything's happening, according to plan, and it's just an exciting time for me. and my family for me to be engaged. We went back to Washington and I celebrated with our families. And now we're back home in Ohio, back home with our four dogs and excited for the season to start.
Danny Shelton joining us, Browns defensive lineman, getting ready for his event tomorrow at Wayside Furniture in Akron, the return of 55. You mentioned training camp, it's hot. It's going to be good things and bad things. But I got to imagine it's going to be exciting to have the first camp with new head coach Hugh Jackson. And you know, after going through mini camp and OTAs with him, I can imagine there's a sense of excitement for you guys, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean – It's really like the first day of school. I mean, like, everybody's getting ready to come back. Everybody's getting ready to come and see old faces, new faces. And you don't really know what the schedule is going to be like, so you don't really know, like, what your class is or whatever. It's kind of like that, you know. We're all getting ready to come back into the facility, see our new locker room. The new facility is awesome, beautiful. The guys who worked on it, you know, they did an awesome job. And Jimmy and Dee, you know, they did an awesome job with, you know, getting this finished for us. And so for us to be able to come in, come see each other's faces, you know, they're all slowly coming in right now. I seen Paul Kruger today. He's looking awesome. John Greco, Jamie Meter. I mean, it's getting close to that time for us to put the pads on and start hitting again. And you can feel it in the room already, you know, just walking into the facility. It's time to play some football. It's going to be awesome.
Danny, I'm just wondering what your reaction was to the news about Desmond Bryan. Obviously a tough loss for you guys in the defensive line room, and just how that changes things for the room going forward and how that might change things for you from a leadership standpoint.
I mean, you know, it hit us all, you know, pretty tough. But at the same time, Dez, you know, he's the guy who's going to lead no matter what. And, you know, he sent out a group text and, you know, let everybody know when it happened. And he let us know that he was going to be around to help us with anything. So, you know, that's just saying what type of player he is. You know, he's going to be a guy who's going to face adversity, but, you know, also, you know, overcome it, you know. And so it's pretty awesome to have, you know, that type of leader in the D-line room on the defense. And so, you know, I'm just excited to see, you know, how this season goes, excited to see, you know, our other players step up and, you know, help us out. And, you know, really just getting ready for this training camp to start.
Yeah, Danny, something that, you know, all of us here on Cleveland Browns Daily are very excited to see is, and just simply coming from the words that Hugh Jackson has uttered throughout the offseason is, you know, playing the game of football. The way you get better playing the game of football is practicing the game of football and the physicality that's going to come with this year's training camp. Just the mindset of both you personally and the beat of the locker room, knowing that this is going to be a much more physical training camp in year two for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be awesome, really. You heard what Coach Jackson has in store for us as far as training camp. He, you know, already said it to us, I want to say 20 times. I mean, he's going to try to kick our butts, you know, this training camp. And just going off of OTAs and mini camps, it was a little taste of what he has in store. And it was awesome because, you know, I've seen the culture change. I've seen how everybody, you know, answered to his challenges, and I've seen how everybody's coming together as a team. And, you know, it's an awesome feeling to know that our team is, you know, starting to change and starting to buy into Coach Jackson's philosophy and how he wants us to play and how the Browns should be playing. And so I'm just excited to be here, be a part of this organization, and be a part of the change.
Danny, you're one of the core guys on this defensive line, but going into training camp, who are some guys in that room that fans might maybe should keep their eye on that are maybe under the radar going into training camp, but are poised to do some big things here?
I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with the hometown hero, Jamie Meter. I mean, he's always ready to work. He's always going to come, you know, play his best. You know, we have tons of guys. I can't name them all, but, you know, Dylan Nguyen, he's a under the radar guy who was here last year. He got let off and, you know, got added back on, and he's been killing, you know, mini camp OTAs, killing the weight room numbers, putting up crazy weight room numbers for his size. And then Xavier Cooper is another guy who's shown a lot of potential last year and is now, you know, killing, you know, practice and killing one-on-ones. He's doing his part as far as, you know, being that pass rush guy we need. And him working with Dez Bryant, you know, this season, you know, it's going to be even crazier to see him play, you know, run and pass. And so I'm just excited. You know, and then there's John Hughes, you know, another one of our vets who's always dominating, a guy who's always leading as well. So our D-line room is really set up. You know, we're really set for this season. We have guys who are going with the ones, guys who are going with the twos that are all dominating. We have rookies that, you know, are going to be in that mix as well. And so it's exciting to see what the coaches have in store for us this training camp as far as our rotation.
Again, it's the return of 55 tomorrow as Danny Shelton will be at Wayside Furniture in Akron on Canton Road in Akron from 6 to 7. Bring your old Danny Shelton 71 jerseys. He'll sign it for you, take a picture, get a chance to win a free authentic Lava Lava. Also, there'll be cookies and refreshments as well. Danny, good to have you back home. All the best, certainly, and have fun out there tomorrow night at Wayside.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. That is Danny Shelton joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. More to come here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Our thanks again to Danny Shelton for joining us. He'll be at Wayside Furniture tomorrow from 6 to 7. Bring your 71 Danny Shelton jerseys, and he'll sign it again and autograph it and take pictures and enjoy it. Again, the big news of the day, the NFL has reinstated Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon, although he will miss the first four games of the regular season. So, I mean, obviously, guys, this is going to be something we'll be talking about leading into camp. And Gribbs, I mean, I guess I've had people asking me, you know, how much is this going to affect the Browns, and the record this year? We don't know because we don't – I mean, we got to see what he can do on the field.
Yeah, and I think even before then we need to hear from Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown on this. I think that's what they're going to kind of maybe show.
Because we assume he's part of the – he's part of this team, but, yeah, we want to hear – I mean, I think it's exactly right. We want to hear what the Browns' brain trust thinks.
Yeah, you got to hear what their plans are for him, where he – what their expectations are, and I think that is something you'll probably hear in the coming days, and certainly by the time Thursday when Hugh meets with the media for going into training camp.
Right, and I think what's very interesting is over the next 4 days, as we see the press release, you know, from the Browns, at least on the Browns mobile app, it talks about, you know, him getting qualified and conditioned and them setting the table here in Cleveland for Josh Gordon to be in a comfortable environment. I wouldn't be surprised if conversations are had with if Josh Gordon does come into Cleveland in the next 4 days, sits down with Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown and maybe even ownership as well to talk through that plan, to look each other in the face and go, okay, we're in it. It's Josh saying, I want to be a Cleveland Brown. I want to be on the football field. Hugh right. saying, here's how. And Jimmy and Dee and Sashi saying, and this is what we're going to do to help you get there.
And it sounds like Jim Brown has been a big part of this support system that the Browns are trying to put in place. All right, so we'll be talking about this tomorrow, and also tomorrow on the show, the godfather of Cleveland Browns Daily, Vic Carucci, will join us as we'll continue our opponent's preview. The Browns play the Bills in December, so we'll talk to Vic about that, but certainly he'll have some thoughts about the Josh Gordon news and more. Gribbs and Mac, good stuff, guys.
You too.
Sounds good.
We'll see you tomorrow. Big thanks also to our producer, Mike Dreamer. Thanks to all of you for your calls and tweets. The Golden Boys featuring Aaron's off today. Greg Brinda in with Emmett Golden. They'll have full reaction to the Josh Gordon news as well. That's next here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.